Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Overnight, deportation flights resumed as nearly 200 Venezuelans arrived in Caracas. Today, a three-judge panel in Washington will hear arguments over the Trump administration's use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport suspected Venezuelan gang members. ABC's Christian Cordero has more.
President Trump escalates his feud with federal judge James Boasberg, calling Boasberg a constitutional disaster on social media. Boasberg has set a hearing for today to, quote, get to the bottom of whether the administration ignored his order to turn around flights bound for El Salvador carrying Venezuelan immigrants.
The administration says it acted lawfully. Talks have resumed in Saudi Arabia between the U.S. and Russia focused on ending the war in Ukraine. Ukraine not present at these talks. And genealogy company 23andMe filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy over the weekend. California's attorney general reminded consumers of their right to delete genetic information. This is ABC News. President Trump's freeze on regulations and the administration's cuts to federal spending appear to be having an impact on the fishing industry, as ABC's Andrew Dimbert explains.
From the Atlantic to Alaska, fishermen say they rely on NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, to manage coastal fisheries, affecting how and where they do business. The agency sets quotas and helps determine the start and close of fishing seasons. More than 160 NOAA employees dealing with fisheries were reportedly fired last month. Industry experts tell Reuters the changes in Washington have raised the risk of delaying the start of the fishing season for some East Coast cod and haddock fleets.
Mia Love has died, the first Black Republican woman ever elected to Congress at just 49. She had been diagnosed with brain cancer in 2022. She represented a district in Utah. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament Sweet 16 is set. Also set, no perfect brackets. All remaining perfect brackets suffered losses. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break in the Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your stations, listen in, and get set to text to win. It's time to break into spring with WBZH.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Badgers women win the Frozen Four. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's hockey team beat Ohio State 4-3. Kirsten Sims with two goals, one to tie it up, the other for the win in overtime.
All year, we have been unbelievable all year, top to bottom. This team has had so much depth. There's so much talent everywhere. To just be able to come out on top and prove it time and time again, and then to really prove it in a game like this, and this is a huge adverse game that we had to go through, and to be able to still come out on top just shows how incredible of a group this is, and I couldn't be happy enough for us.
It's the eighth time the Badgers have won the women's national title under head coach Mark Johnson, who praised Sims' performance.
National championship game. If you miss, the game's probably over. Then it comes down to who wants to step up. A couple players mentioned Kirsten. The ownership's hers. I'll take it. Okay, go get it.
There's a team celebration open to fans tonight at the LeBron Arena in Madison. NBA, the Bucks are in Phoenix against the Suns. Milwaukee beating the Kings over the weekend 114-108. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I don't usually break news here, even if it's entertainment related, but there is always an exception. Vanna White, who has been turning letters on Wheel of Fortune for 43 years, recently disclosed to Drew Barrymore on her talk show that she has worn over 8,000 dresses. That's almost 1,000 more than Pat Sajak recently confessed to wearing. The beloved 68-year-old White says she's never taken a dress home, but the show does lend them out to her occasionally for big events. The wardrobe disclosure comes after White confessed to only working 34 days a year. What is this? secret to keeping a show on the air for a long stretch? Many would say it's to keep infusing it with fresh talent, whether it be writing, producing, or casting. The Emmy-winning show Only Murders in the Building has adapted that formula as they've added many actors over the years. The most recent addition to the cast will be Christoph Waltz. Variety reports that the two-time Oscar winner will join the show for season 5. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon, and we will be mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high 42 today, tonight clear 18, tomorrow partly cloudy 44. By Wednesday, it will be partly cloudy with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Monday morning, March 24th. It's nice to have you along. We'll be talking this hour with Tom Kemp, the chair of the Economics Department at UW-Eau Claire, about the Trump trade wars, the tariffs, and the major impact it will have here in Wisconsin. That's coming up. We're also going to be hearing from Selena Heller from Up North News. Brittany Merlot is standing by with our forecast. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here along with Greg Bach down in Racine. But first, it is time for the latest statewide text to win contest from Civic Media. It's called the Break into Spring. See what they did there? Break into spring? Spring break?
No? Good one, Pat.
All right. Here we go. It all starts with the Civic Media app. With it, you can listen to all of the Civic Media stations. So download it, pick a home station, take Civic Media wherever you go. Each station on the app has some options. Go visit the website, send an email, send a voice note, call the station, and text. For the Break into Spring contest, that little text button is your gateway to winning. Four times a day, a Civic Media host will give you that hour's keyword. You have until the end of the hour, 7:59 in this case, to text that word to us, and that's it. You're entered for that hour's prize and for a grand prize. The hourly prizes range from a Chula Vista getaway to Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets to $100 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress, pillows, bamboo sheets, and more. You will receive a bounce back text message after each entry, giving you a chance for more entries via a link to complete specific activities, such as agreeing to follow a Civic Media newsletter. So be sure to opt in to receiving texts from Civic Media. Full contest rules at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. All right, enough of the fine print. Let's get to the word. This hour's keyword is grow. To be entered for this hour's prize of $100 cash, you have until 7:59 to text in and be eligible to win. Someone's about to win $100 in cash. Why not you? Your chances to win are at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. later today. Good luck. 7:09 is the time, and we talked about the mattresses from Verlo, not Merlo. That's Merlo is who gets the forecast for us. And, Brittany, there's a bit of a glaze out there on the roads over here in the Chippewa Valley this morning as we continue this. It's warming up. No, it's not. It's still cold. It's warming up again. It's still cold. So you got to be a little careful out there this morning.
Yep. It's our second winter. That's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We got smacked here in the Wausau area with a good 8 inches of snowfall yesterday Same with Langlade, Marathon County, Portage, even into Oconto County, getting well over 6 inches of snowfall. But the snow was flying. The rain was out there yesterday. A lot of places icing up across the state this morning as temperatures are below freezing. There is still some snow flying into the Fox Valley. We're still looking at a winter storm warning in Iron County through this afternoon with another 3 inches left to go for you. A winter weather advisory into areas off of Lake Superior as well with another inch or two left. And of course, the rest of the state staying mostly cloudy and still breezy today. Winds are around 20 to 30 miles per hour out of the northwest, slapping wind chills on top of colder temperatures. So it is going to be a crisp one out there. Highs will hit the upper 20s to low 30s far northeast areas of the state, and then low to mid 40s for central and southwestern parts today. But we will stay dry and seasonal this week. Highs in the 40s, 50s are possible later. We are looking at a wet weekend, though. And of course, icy conditions out there this morning. So be careful.
All right. And let's see, we got there's a lot in the mailbag this morning here. Much of it political. So I'm sifting through to find from Rob. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 27. We had 7.5 inches of wet, heavy snow. I was plowing snow till 9:30. My snowblower broke down and I did a lot of shoveling and I took my time. We had the Northern Lights Friday and Saturday night. I took a bunch of pictures of the Northern Lights. It was an amazing scene, but I had a big breakfast to get energy to finish my jobs. Roads are slippery with icy spots and blowing and drifting in rural areas. So, Rob, take care of yourself.
Please, Rob.
Yes, everybody else out there.
We don't ask for much, Rob.
Just, does anybody know if Rob works alone? Or does he have a team?
Rob is Rob.
He's Team Rob.
Enough said.
Team Rob.
Yeah. All you need. All right. We are Rob's team.
Take super duper care of yourself, Rob, please. Okay.
Celine, I believe you had a question for the meteorologist.
So I have a friend who's a meteorologist. And every time she gets frustrated, this morning was one of those mornings. And she says, science lesson for you. Ahead of the arrival of a major storm, which occurs due to an increase of moisture in our atmosphere, we start to have the beginnings of that moisture way up high at plane level. As the planes fly across the sky, release warm air into the atmosphere, contrails form as the warm air causes that water vapor to condense. They may linger some days longer than others due to very light winds and all that extra moisture in our sky. The government is not spraying something to make the storm happen.
Oh,
it's just atmospheric science making contrails appear and linger longer than other days. And then she goes on to say that you'll hear people believe in them saying they don't see them. They didn't see them before in the 60s or 70s. But that's because air traffic was much less. And then she says, thank you for coming to my TED talk. When I saw this post and all the replies, it made me very sad that people don't understand science. Also, don't follow a psychic for your weather information.
So are you calling on Brittany to see if she will agree with your meteorologist friend, or is she about to debunk your meteorologist
friend?
No,
that's all I have to say, because she's very frustrated.
Well, I was hanging out with Bigfoot the other day looking at the sky.
All right, Brittany, what do you have to say about the government and contrails?
You know, I agree. And I like how Selena was saying contrails. It's so close to chemtrails. It is not. It's a contrail, okay? It is just condensation. It is moisture up in the atmosphere. It's cold up there. And the jets are releasing these warmer, you know, conditions. And it's water vapor freezing. It is simply water vapor freezing.
Well, I guess we lost Brittany to the big lie.
Yep. So the government would have us believe, you know.
She's going to have us believe that 2020 was a safe election.
No, don't drag her into this. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It. Have a
Bye
wonderful again. Day. All right.
Me too.
Just about 7:14 right now. And, you know, poor Kristen's over here. Well, actually, not poor
I
Kristen.
Like science.
She's over here going, yes. It's like, thank goodness we're talking about meteorological science right now and not medical science. And, folks, anyway around it, science.
Science.
Okay?
Science.
Again, science. And by the way, also this past week, a lot of people have been remembering 5 years ago this week when COVID really, mm-hmm. you know, took a hold of, you know, Wisconsin had arrived. People are starting to die. We were trying to do social distancing. We still didn't know everything about this terrible condition. And so people go, oh, science was wrong back then. Science is not like one thing on stone tablets, Kristen, or we'd still be using leeches.
Yeah, science is always evolving and things are changing and we're learning new things. And sometimes we learn that the things that we thought were true are not necessarily true, but that's all part of the process. And we've got to believe in the process and we've got to believe in each other. You know, this is like, it all comes down to division versus unity. And politicians using things like misinformation to divide us and make us suspicious of each other so that we don't trust each other, because then they can control us. But we're not going to let that happen. We're seeing it happen on a high level, but in our communities, we're not going to let that happen. And that's exactly why it's important to get out and vote on April 1st. Vote for the things in your communities, your school board races, your city council races, and definitely for the state superintendent and our state Supreme Court.
So opening your mind and actually listening to the people who are dealing with something. What a toss to Selena as we talk about a recent legislative hearing about some anti-trans bills and a gentleman who attended. Selena, take it from there.
Yes, Larry, he's from Milwaukee, and he came in support of Assembly Bill 104, which looks to ban all forms of gender-affirming care for anyone under 18. So there were so many people there testifying for and against, and he was in an overflow room waiting his turn. And he was amongst all of these people who were going in there to testify. He listened all day for like six, seven, 8 hours. And then Larry went in there and it was kind of an amazing turn of events. So listen to Larry.
All right, Larry, the floor is yours. You got 2 minutes.
First of all, I'd like to apologize to you people. I was invited here to give my support for Bill 10401. I have a very little knowledge of gay people and things like that there. So when I came here, my eyes were open. I was one of the critics that sat on the side and made the decisions. It was only too generous. So I got an education that was unbelievable. And I don't know just exactly how to say this, but my perspective for people have changed. So I don't want to take up no more of your time. I'd like to apologize for being here. And I learned a very lot about this group of people.
And followed
Yay, Larry!
Larry. Larry's taking the internet by storm with his little story. The world needs more Larrys. He listened, he learned, and he changed his mind, and he was so courageous. He could have just left, right?
Yeah, right. Yep.
He went in there and said, I was wrong.
It's and again, because, and I hate that it always has to be this way. It's like, you know, the people who are, you know, anti-gay until like their son or their daughter is gay or something, and then they get this education and exposure and their heart, you know, opens up. And I wish it didn't have to be this way, but hopefully telling stories and sharing like this from Larry, Kristen, you've knocked on doors, you know, one conversation at a time can get it done.
Oh, I've sat in exam rooms with patients who've had certain perspectives until they've experienced situations for themselves or for their loved ones. And that is a game changer for people. But we can't all be diagnosed with cancer or have someone who goes through the transitioning period or needs an abortion in our lives. And that's fortunate. We should not have to experience tragedy, but we can listen to each other and we can learn from each other and we can support each other.
Maybe, yeah, a little compassion goes a long way listening to other folks. We'll continue things on Up North News Radio right after this pause. Again, this hour's keyword in the Text to Win contest is GROW. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County. But they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and Black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Travel with me now back to 1986 when Lionel Richie won the Academy Award on this day for the song from the film White Nights. One of and then we played 99 Lift Balloons before that. The whole Cold War part of our culture in the 80s, which we thought was going to be around forever, mm-hmm. until it wasn't. You know, things just change. Things do.
Everything comes back around again, Pat. Just wait.
Yeah.
we're best friends with Russia again, Pat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they don't want to create the new Soviet Union at all. No, nothing like that. Yeesh. Coming up on Wednesday in our homeroom segment at 7:30, Selena, we're going to be talking about school districts and state aid, and so we'll be talking to somebody. But you've been doing a little bit of reporting on it, and really getting a feel for. I don't know how you explain the school funding formula to folks. It's just so amazingly complex. But this whole notion of school districts that are land rich, cash poor, and they're in a very unusual situation, which probably explains why there's so many referendums out there.
Yeah, some of those communities across Wisconsin that have lakefront properties, vacation homes, they kind of are at a disadvantage in terms of the school funding formula, along with the rest of all of the school districts. However, this kind of takes it to a whole new level, something you don't necessarily think about, but they have all those properties in their school district that kind of fudge up the formula even worse. So like Holcomb has a referendum on the ballot this year because that kind of always is problematic. They can't go. It's a tricky situation for everybody around because they have to go to their regular rural taxpayers and ask for more money.
The people who don't have million-dollar homes on the lake. That's the thing. When you've got when the land value is that skewed because of some pricey homes and, on the lake and other places, it means they're going to get less state aid. And yet, most of the residents aren't living in places like that, yet their property taxes take a hit as a result. And Kristen, from legislative campaigns and candidates that you've talked to, I mean, half the battle is explaining the current system. And with dozens more school referendums on the ballot, we just have to keep at it, have to keep letting people know that the system is not working right now. And that's why all these school districts are not greedy. They're just trying to keep the lights on.
It's incredibly confusing for people, even to know the difference between an operational referendum and a referendum to build new schools. Some of these schools, many of these schools, are having to go back to the people who live there to ask for money just to keep the lights on. We can't even provide a school funding formula so that our schools can function at a regular level, not anything pie in the sky. So talking to people about these basic bread and butter things, and then also reminding people, especially people who don't have kids in the schools anymore, that schools are the foundations of our community. This is where we teach our kids and feed our kids and grow our communities and build out the people who are going to be serving us in restaurants and working in our factories and becoming lawyers and doctors. So it is so much more than, I don't want money to go to that school because my property taxes are going to go up.
Yeah. I mean, there really has to be that sense of community, which is what every referendum committee works on, is to establish that. So keep that in mind, folks, for all the referendums that are going to be on the ballot coming up just 8 days from now. A little bit of sports at 7:25, and it was what a weekend for basketball, for hockey. Obviously, the Badger men and the Marquette men were eliminated from the NCAA tournaments. The Brewers opened up their major league season on Thursday afternoon at Yankee Stadium. We're ready? Ready for baseball season?
Ready.
Yeah. There we go. Greg's ready.
What about the snow?
Bucks are in what?
The snow.
What snow?
What snow? What are you talking about? Is it...
Never mind.
Okay. Oh, my good Lord.
Kristen's
way up north.
Are you
sure you're a doctor?
This is where they... She's up north where they play hockey. I mean, War Road, Minnesota is not that terribly far from where she is. And, I mean, they call the place Hockey Town. They've cranked out so many amazing college and high school players, including some that were playing in the men's conference tournament game that I attended over the weekend in St. Paul, watching the Western Michigan Broncos go on to win their conference title. But again, they had to come down. They had to come back from 3 goals down. Well, similarly for the women, the Badger women were down 3-1 early in the second period, then down 3-2. But the clock was ticking away, 19 seconds left. And they were awarded a penalty shot after a scrum in front of the net. Kirsten Sims put it in the net, and off it was to overtime. And 3 minutes into overtime, it was Kirsten Sims again. And the Badgers win the national title, coming back from down 2 goals in overtime to win 4-3. Honestly, between watching the two hockey games in person and the Badgers yesterday, I am still just exhausted because playoff hockey is just the best, but it takes everything out of you. It's so fun to watch.
I have a really quick question for you because I don't know much about women's hockey, especially in the college level. Is there a place for women to go after college to play professionally? I mean,
there is now.
Other, there are. There, okay.
There is now. There is now a professional women's hockey league. It has something like 8 or 10 teams. Don't quote me on it. So their season is ongoing right now.
Okay.
I think the Minnesota one is called the Frost. I should know because I passed by the banners at the XL Energy Center as I was there. But yes, there is now a professional league. Just like we talked about with Christina Laurie, there's now a professional women's volleyball league as well.
Amazing. Think of how that's all changed. I mean, when I was in college, hockey, women's hockey at Minnesota, which is like the hockey state, was a club sport.
Yeah.
And now we've got women's professional hockey, and we've got this dynasty in Wisconsin. It truly is a dynasty.
Yeah, we have 6 titles. 6 teams, Boston, Minnesota, Montreal, New York, Ottawa, Toronto.
And it's only going to grow, just like the WNBA has. So, again, it was kind of our theme starting off the segment is the way that things have grown and changed. Now, there are always going to be some people trying to knuckle drag us back in something or another. But by and large, we're making some pretty nice progress here on all the fronts. Kristen Lyerly, who is not a part of a women's hockey team. She could have been. You could have been. Still could. I think those elbows are pretty sharp over there. Nobody's doubting you for a moment. Thank you so much. Safe travels later today.
Thanks. Right. I'll wave at you as I'm driving by.
Okay. Selena Heller, thank you for all your reporting. Appreciate it so much. You guys have a great day. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Tom Kemp. He's the chair of the economics department at UW-Eau Claire, and we'll be talking about Donald Trump's trade war. It's going to impact people in all kinds of ways. Will it offset the $100 bribe that Elon Musk is offering Wisconsin voters if they are inclined to vote toward Brad Schimmel? We'll ask him. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's the way it should be.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You know, here in Wisconsin, we spend an amazing amount of time talking about weather. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And rightfully so, Eric Snodgrass is the principal atmospheric scientist for Conduit. He pays attention to weather not just in the Midwest, but around the world. And he said, Wisconsin, forecasting here is a little bit tricky.
But where we are here in Wisconsin, it's interesting. You can actually see differences in the forecasting accuracy as you go way up north. There's a big elevation change. You get into the north woods of Wisconsin. The radar is not good coverage up there. It's difficult to predict. And also down in the southwestern side where we have all the rolling hills, like the Dells area, the elevation actually presents an interesting challenge to forecasting. So Madison, oh, this is great. I can forecast here. Yeah. But there are a couple spots in the state that are challenging. Hmm.
Eric Snodgrass, he is the principal atmospheric scientist for Conduit. He says these erratic weather patterns that we're living with right now, just what the doctor ordered for relatively normal growing conditions coming up later this year. And where does he look in the world for future indications of weather patterns? He said this summer he'll be watching weather patterns over the Gulf of Alaska.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
And the state-funded Dairy Innovation Hub has announced they've hired four new professors that will serve at UW-Madison and UW-River Falls. They've got staff members now joining the Department of Animal and Dairy Science, the Department of Soil and Environmental Sciences, and the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences in Madison, and another staff position in the Department of Agricultural Economics at UW-River Falls. We've got biography information on each of those professors up now at MidwestFarmReport.com. And don't forget, now is the time to join as a rainfall reporter in the home stretch now. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, where you can get signed up. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon, and we will be mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high 42 today, tonight clear 18, tomorrow partly cloudy 44. By Wednesday, it will be partly cloudy with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of a new documentary called A Road at Night, John Roach. And then actor Ezekiel Drews joins the show to talk about a fun new musical. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It is Corey Hart's birthday today. Now, not this Corey Hart, the singer. The former Milwaukee Brewer is 43 years old today. The Sunglasses at Night singer is 62. He turned 63 sometime at the end of May here. But it's always a good reason to play a song like this. The newest statewide Text to Win contest from Civic Media has started. It started this hour, and it's something that you can participate in. All you need is the Civic Media app as part of the Break into Spring statewide Text to Win contest. With the app, you go to one of the stations, any station there. There's a text option where you can text the station, and you text each hour's keyword for your chance to win. And the hour, the word this hour is grow, G-R-O-W. So text that, and you will be entered into a contest. Enter it before 7:59, because there are different words. Next word is at 11 a.m., then 1 p.m., then 4 p.m. $100 cash is on the line for this hour's word, where one of these many text entries will be drawn at random. And then you'll be part of the, every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress, pillows, bamboo sheets, and much more. And again, check out the rules, civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Grow is this hour's keyword. So we've mentioned a couple of times here the rather unique approach that the world's richest man is taking toward helping out Brad Schimmel in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Now, this should not be a big surprise. Brad Schimmel was the Republican Attorney General during Scott Walker's second term. He has run as a Republican in other races. Now he's running in this nonpartisan race. But he was very thankful to President Donald Trump for the endorsement over the weekend. And now Elon Musk is offering voters $100 to sign a petition in opposition to, quote, activist judges. So, I mean, it's not an outright bribe, but it does raise this question. $100, is that going to offset what Trump was doing and the kind of things that Brad Schimmel might uphold on the Supreme Court? Let's see, Adam put it well on YouTube, paying people $100 so they can go out and buy a carton of eggs for their household. Now, the egg prices are a little bit separate. We've got a bird flu situation, but the prices on everything else are liable to be affected by Donald Trump's trade war. And I do say Donald Trump's trade war. You could always negotiate new deals, or you could do what Trump does best, and that is make threats and then declare victory at even the slightest change in the status quo. But at what cost? And so we've invited in Tom Kemp. He is the chair of the economics department at UW-Eau Claire. Tom, good to have you here. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks. Happy to be here, Pat.
Yeah. So can you... Yeah. Can you tell... Do tariffs 101 for you? No. Well, why not? From the very beginning, what is it that a tariff is supposed to be? For set Donald Trump aside, and sure, what is a tariff as opposed to whatever you would call free trade?
Well, a tariff is just a tax on a good or service as it is imported. So as the good or service enters the country at either airport or seaport or a land crossing, a tax is levied upon that good. Now, the Trump administration has levied a wide array of these tariffs across a large, well, pretty much all our major trading partners. So we're going to see, and we're already seeing, substantial taxes on goods and services as they enter the United States.
So that tax, if you will, doesn't exist in a vacuum in most cases, right? I mean, do other countries, other companies, do they just pay it and say, well, I guess that's the cost of doing business. We'll never see that money again.
Well, it's hard to say, right? We're talking about hundreds of thousands of businesses likely, perhaps even millions. And they will all make their own decisions on whether they want to, whether it's still profitable for them to operate in U.S. markets as a result of these taxes. It may be the case that some businesses choose to do business, continue to do business with us, albeit at higher pass-through prices, and others may choose to look elsewhere.
So they could pass that cost along, but then there's, along with the pass along to the consumer, there's then the whole notion of retaliatory tariffs. And we talked last week about a new analysis of those retaliatory tariffs. And when that happens, again, you know, what does that do to America's exports, whether you're a Wisconsin soybean farmer or a manufacturer or anything like that? How does that impact business?
Yeah, those retaliatory potential, well, there's some retaliatory tariffs that are in place and others that are being threatened. And those are really perhaps the bigger challenge for the state of Wisconsin. Exports are significant, are a significant part of our economy, as are, machine parts and other manufactured goods. So Wisconsin, you know, is a pretty significant manufacturing state, and we send a lot of those manufactured goods around the world. So if various retaliatory tariffs continue, escalate, or go into effect, that raises costs for Wisconsin firms that are trying to export their product.
And we get a question from Tony on YouTube, a good one here. Do the companies who have a competitor getting taxed also raise their prices? He writes, I remember hearing domestic companies raise their prices as well and just take the extra profit frequently. So a tariff is, I guess, in a way designed to stimulate, you know, manufacturing in the U.S. to say, you know, here, let's get more of a market for a domestic product. But if somebody's already making a product here, do tariffs give them an incentive to raise their prices as well?
It's difficult to say for any specific firm. Certainly some, right? So the existence of tariffs does give essentially domestic firms license to raise prices. It gives to a certain degree, right? Because competitors are facing higher costs, so their prices are going to go up. So it reduces the level of global competition and therefore, you know, likely raises prices.
And in so doing, again, Tony follows up with how sticky are the prices? I would imagine, and he would as well, prices once a tariff is lifted may not necessarily come down, or at least come down to the pre-tariff level.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty unlikely that those prices would come back down to the pre-tariff level.
Yeah.
Once they go up, it's harder for them to come down for a variety of reasons.
Right. So have you noticed a lot of activity heading into this? I know, for example, Spectrum had a headline that Wisconsin farmers were pre-selling their crops to prepare for the possibility of tariffs. There was, there were, again, in the manufacturing sector, places were getting whatever orders they could before the tariffs took place. It basically, the bottom line is, it's created uncertainty for manufacturers, farmers, consumers, distributors, others, right? I mean, a lot of volatility.
Yeah, that's the real story here, is the uncertainty. Tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs back on again. Uncertainty is expensive, right? So if you're trying to do business in this environment, I really feel for anybody who's trying to either export their product from Wisconsin, or if you have supply chains that run through Canada or Mexico or any of the other countries that we're proposing tariffs with, I really feel for you right now, because it's almost impossible to forecast your costs, and as a consequence, impossible to forecast your productivity. And that's just a climate where investment becomes less likely to happen. And of course, less investment means lower productivity in the long term and lower or slower economic growth. So it's really it's self-inflicted harm.
Yeah.
There's no reason we had to have this level of uncertainty.
Let's address a couple of comments online that talk about the trade deficit. One says there's nothing wrong with tariffs in order to balance out the trade deficit. Another says Trump increasing tariffs is brilliant and a great way to decrease our trade deficit. Is that what tariffs do, Tom? Or do they decrease a trade deficit?
Well, perhaps they might do so. That said, it's important to understand what trade deficits are. Trade deficits aren't like that we owe somebody something. You know, a trade deficit occurs when we buy an imported good. So if you went to the mall last weekend and bought some clothing made in Indonesia, you paid for it, right? You don't owe anything, but a trade deficit was incurred. That's what trade deficits are. They're not like budget deficits where there's somehow some money owed or something like that. So trade deficits simply represent consumer tastes and preferences. I wanted this good, this thing that I bought, clothing made in Indonesia, more than I wanted the US dollars. So to the extent that American consumers have tastes and preferences, that they prefer imported goods, we have trade deficits.
All right. We've got Dale from Wausau on the phone who wants to ask a question about the tariffs themselves. Dale, good morning. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Yes, good morning. On the tariffs that are being charged onto products that are imported into this country, I'd like to know where that tariff money that the Trump administration is charging on these imports, where that money goes, to who it goes or what entity it goes to. I'm hoping that it's not going to end up being in some circuitous way a grift where that tariff money goes to Trump, Musk, and Trump's oligarch friends with under the table or backroom deals.
All right, Dale, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. So, Tom, again, from a purely textbook standpoint, when a tariff is levied, where's that money supposed to go?
Treasury.
Okay. And then what happens with that? It gets back to that whole notion of we hear all this talk about Elon Musk and others cutting spending, but are you really cutting spending if you're then sending it out a different way as tax cuts for the very wealthy? But that gets a step ahead of the tariffs when they originally come in, right?
Yeah, there's revenue in and expenditure out, and revenue in is pretty clear with tariffs, but expenditure out is a different matter. Mm-hmm. I guess I would say keep a close eye on where the money's going out.
Yeah, exactly. A total case of following the money. We've got another Trump supporter asking online, why do liberals only like tariffs when other countries do it? Which, again, I'm going to take that as a rhetorical question and turn it into something a bit more basic. And that is, make the case for tariffs. Because, again, this thing is getting criticized, in my opinion, because it's being handled in such a confrontational and ham-handed way that it's easy for people to say, oh, well, you must be against all tariffs. No, that's not the case. Tom, can you make the case when tariffs are a proper use by government?
Sure. Well, the classic case for tariffs is military interest, right? Like, you don't want all your weaponry made overseas for obvious reasons. Similarly for foodstuffs, again, for obvious reasons. And that's why there's sort of more allowances on tariffs in those regards. I would say that the biggest issue here with this current thing is not the tariffs at all. It's the tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs on, tariffs off. It's the uncertainty that is the big challenge here. If you think about doing business just in your own personal life, you want to do business with somebody who does what they say they're going to do. You don't want to do business with somebody who constantly changes their mind, because it's just a pain, right? It's just a nuisance. And that's personally what I see as the larger challenge here.
Yeah, to me, the most classic example would be China and Wisconsin soybeans. And yeah, it's fine to get them from Wisconsin. But, you know, during the last Trump administration, China got a lot of soybeans from Brazil. And that marketplace is still there. And so at what point does that huge market in China go, you know, maybe we just go with the thing that's less volatile? And that's just one of what I imagine, Tom, could be a lot of examples.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the greatest assets that the United States has as an economy is that historically we generally do what we say we're going to do, more so than almost any other place in the world. I mean, if you think about, if you were a business person, which government would you want to do business with? Would you want to do business with the Chinese Communist Party? You want to do business with the Russians? You want to, you know, who do you, okay, America. Okay, well, we do what we say we want to do. That's why our economy is so strong.
Yes, our stability was very much an asset pre-Trump. Tom Kemp is the chair of economics at UW-Eau Claire. Tom, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the visit.
Sure, anytime, Pat. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. We'll wrap things up after this. This is Up North News Radio on live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government Buy-in for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Did you know that Wisconsin has a new, quick, and free online tax filing tool called IRS Direct File? Direct File is changing how people file their taxes and bringing more money into our state through the federal earned income tax credit and child tax credit. File your federal and state taxes online directly with the IRS from your smartphone or computer. On average, file in less than 1 hour, available in English and Spanish. Visit directfile.irs.gov to see if you're eligible. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I regret to tell you that something terrible has happened to Jane Matinere, or there's something wrong with my monitor because she does not look good right now. She looks. Oh, it's you, Greg. Sorry. Yeah, Jane's not there in the studio
sometimes
with you.
Sometimes you're hurtful, Patrick. Sometimes you're hurtful.
The handsome and capable Greg Bach is here as part of Matinere on Air.
Yes, indeed.
Minus the Matinere today.
Yes, minus the Matinere. Jane is off today. She'll be back tomorrow. I've been sitting in the big chair for the past few days, and we've been having some really good times. Really, we had Dr. Lyerly on last Friday, but today, the amazing, wonderful, just as busy as Dr. Lyerly, if you ask me, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities will be my guest co-host Angela. For the entire show, Angela Lang.
Love Angela. Oh, that's great.
Angela will be on the show for the entire 2 hours. We will be having Darren Madison, who is the representative of the 10th district in Milwaukee for the state of Wisconsin, talking about all the things that are going on in his district, what he's working on, and then just kind of gonna be bringing up, talking about the news and focusing on some areas that Angela wants to bring light to. Because, you know, we talk about a lot of things, and I'm sure there's always, you know, there's always going to be projects and stories that we're not covering. So Angela and I are gonna be talking about some cool things going on. And also at 11 o'clock, Pat, the text to win contest, Breaking the Spring text to win. You can get it with us. We'll be giving you another word, and you're going to get that Civic Media app, and you're going to text when we tell you the word, and then you can possibly win.
And by the way, that's my reminder to tell you that in 5 minutes, time's going to be up for this hour's word, which is GROW, G-R-O-W, in Civic Media's Break into Spring statewide text to win contest. This hour's keyword is GROW. And Mr. Bach will have a new hour coming up at 11, then another one in the 1 p.m. hour, and another word in the 4 p.m. hour. This hour it's for $100 cash. Other times it could be for Brewers tickets or a Chula Vista stay at Wisconsin Dells. I've used the Brewer tickets. They're cool.
Oh.
I've also spent $100 of cash. That's pretty cool, too.
I've spent $100 of cash at a Brewers game.
So there, you can get two big things in one. Yeah. And while I haven't stayed at Chula Vista, I know Wisconsin Dells is awesome. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't that be awesome too? So $100 this time if you text GROW, use that Civic Media app and text one of the stations here as part of the Break Into Spring contest. All right, I just have to have a little bit of fun with the comment section online because, you know, again,
do you want some it's music?
It's an online comment section. You'll know when to bring it up.
Yeah.
From folks that are supporting President Trump's tariffs and chaos. And at one point, one commenter said, well, his view, the Trump view, it makes complete sense if you understand economics. And I'm like, we were just talking to the chair of the economics department who does understand economics. And so this person then responds about Tom Kent. Well, he's an academic.
I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just imagining. I'm sure this person is a real person and not a
no, he's
robot,
real
bot.
No, he's one of those all day guys.
I know, but I'm just imagining Vladimir sitting at home going, dude, don't be so obvious.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you understand economics, he's an economist. He's the chair of the economics. Well, then he's an academic. So, and of course, the response is, well, show me one business in which he has run and succeeded. Again, is all based on the notion that government is a business. Government is not,
it's not a business. It's not
and
a
if you
business.
Run it like a business, you will run it into the ground. So if you've run businesses into the ground, looking at you, Donald Trump, or if your rockets blow up.
I mean, look at Tesla's stock. Why is Elon Musk still the CEO of Tesla?
Or, well, like you said, the Twitter thing that he had over the weekend with Ron Johnson and how it was constantly having technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Like it has other times yep. when Elon Musk is Tesla. Why is Twitter having these technical difficulties whenever Elon Musk tries to do one of these live events? Because he fired a ton of people who were doing critical things.
Yep.
And now Twitter doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's exactly what's happening here is, well, if we fire enough people, it won't work. To whatever point that is, I don't get what Elon's point is on making Twitter so much worse than it was, other than to let it be what it has become, which is a soapbox for Nazis and all of MAGA world.
Yeah.
But if that is what's translated to the government, what are we going to have running the government?
Pat, I will be walking around all day going, this is an academic. tomorrow I'm gonna go. Oh, today I'm gonna go to a bar. I'm just gonna find a dude who is talking about it, and I'm gonna have him because he's got real world experience.
Yes,
so exactly. He'll know everything.
Yep. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we've got some great guests here. We'll have Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 will join us during the history lesson. We'll have Sherita Booker. We'll have Christina Laurie from Up North News talking about some of the more popular posts and newsletter stories of the past week or so. We will have from Courier Newsroom Lucy Ritzman, who is tracking all the online spending in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And so we'll tell you who the big players are, not for the TV ads or the mail, but online. And then we'll wrap things up with Richard Trent, who is the national director of Main Street Alliance, which is the small business group, not the big business group, the small business group that is looking to have a more level playing field for America's entrepreneurs, not one skewed toward, you know, billionaires. I think small business might be the side you want to listen to, not the billionaires, just me. All right. Thanks. That's it for Up North News Radio for this Monday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you for joining us up north. And again, remember, you can follow us over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday morning up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number one. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Did you know that Wisconsin has a new quick and free online tax filing tool called IRS Direct File? Direct File is changing how people file their taxes and bringing more money into our state through the federal earned income tax credit and child tax credit. File your federal and state taxes online directly with the IRS from your smartphone or computer. On average, file in less than 1 hour. Available in English and Spanish. Visit directfile.irs.gov to see if you're eligible. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. will consider the Trump administration's push to overturn the order that restrains the use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport alleged gang members.
The appeals panel includes appointees of two Republican presidents, including Trump, as well as an Obama nominee. The administration argues the men who've been subject to the use of the enemies law have been thoroughly vetted as members of Tren de Aragua. But attorneys and relatives say several of those who've been sent to a Salvadoran prison are not members of the gang.
That's ABC Stephen Portnoy in Saudi Arabia, a U.S. and Russian delegation meeting to discuss the possibility of ending the war in Ukraine. There are no Ukrainian representatives at these talks. A 15-year-old is the fourth person arrested in connection with Friday's shooting at a park in Las Cruces, New Mexico, that left three dead and over a dozen hurt. It was 2 years ago today that a Mississippi community was devastated by a powerful tornado. That community was hit by a tornado Sunday. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.